This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
In my view, Joe.
You know, I think Western Iowa is a lot like my old district, Northwest Florida, and I'm just curious what you're hearing from your friends. I know what I'm hearing from my friends in Northwest Florida, which is like, geez, I don't want Hillary to win, but I can't believe what this guy's doing. There's also despair that there's no organization down there. You can't, I mean, there are a couple of Trump signs scattered, but for the level of support he has or had, nobody's putting the signs in the front yard. What are you hearing from your conservative, hardcore constituents who have been with you from the very beginning, before Trump even had a reality show on NBC?
Well, I do agree with you, Joe, that the panhandle in Northwest Iowa are very much the same politically, maybe a little bit stronger military presence in the panhandle because of the bases you have down there, but much, much the same, and a strong national defense, strong conservative people, and I'm hearing some of the same things. The Republicans that are there, the people that were, many of them who were strong Cruz supporters, are, however, stepping up saying, we've got to get Trump elected, we can't have a Hillary president, we've got to get Trump elected. And as I listen to the speeches, there might be six or seven or eight speeches all in a row that say the same thing. And I'm thinking, how many times do we need to hear this? Why don't we just go out and go to work? But, you know, it is a different race. And Mitt Romney left 5 to 8 million evangelical Christians home in 2012, or he'd be running for re-election right now by some analysis. I think that's an important message to say to the conservatives. Staying home is going to give you more of what we have today and probably worse of what we have today under Barack Obama.
You know, the other thing that they're really not taking into account here, Scott, is the peer pressure. I mean, look what happened with the one guy that had the big Trump sign in his front yard. And, you know, he wakes up and all of a sudden, you know, he's got a lightning bolt in his front yard because somebody lit up the sign. So what did they do? They went ahead and built a bigger Trump sign. Now, there's some people that have the courage and the convictions that, you know, we'll withstand that. They're going to stay in the face of political correctness and the opposite pressure. And God bless them for being able, you know, to be that convicted and to hold the ground. And I think that is the opportunity. But if we're going to focus on, you know, more emotional things than the quality issues that are sustainable. I think it gives you a little bit more credibility. It gives you better standing. Although in the grander mix of things, you need all that. You need, you know, the passion that runs the full scale and gives you, you know, the full palette of emotions. I say that on one hand because it's all part of the mix. Not that you want everybody to be lockstep here because that's not going to happen. But by the same token, you know, I guess it's a time to call out the rest of America that really believes in Trump. That's kind of that silent majority. You know, occasionally they're brave enough to raise their head and say, okay, I'm going to take a stand. This is what I believe in, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I'll give you a reason why, because an interesting thing, whenever I have a conversation with progressives and you start talking the facts, they don't know what to do. And maybe I'm just talking with, progressives that are more emotional than fact-based. And I try to keep it out of the, because you can't really talk to somebody on an emotional level. But when you talk about the facts and say, okay, let's break it down. You know, what has happened? You know, like even in the situation with, what we're seeing in Milwaukee, what we saw in Ferguson, what we saw in Baltimore. You know, these are all Democratic districts. These are all democratically run cities. They have had the majority of vote and voice in those areas, and somehow they're not connecting the dots to see that their policies have not been fruitful. They have not been progressive. Well, they've been progressive, but in the wrong direction, and not one that is a direction that heals, one that promotes self-responsibility, that promotes the dreams and ambitions of America, that is for the greater cause of what this country is all about and what has made us exceptional. That is the potential that lies before us. But will we realize that? It's going to take a lot of courage. And as Dr. Emilio said, some sacrifice as well.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Live.
If it's going to happen, it's going to be a nice kind of thing. All hands on deck. The groundswell across this country is that, you know, 7 out of 10 of us agree we're on the wrong track, but are you willing to do something about it? You know, it's kind of like, you know, what has happened in Europe and in other areas where they see dysfunction going on, even if I might say within the Muslim communities here in this country, such a small minority of people are the agitators causing problems, but yet many, and I don't agree with some of the general numbers that say 99%, I don't think it's that high, are, you know, God-fearing and really want to do the right thing. You know, we saw what happened historically in Germany. It was about 10% of Germany were Nazis and the advocates of death, but 90% of Germans sat back. And here we are. History is repeating itself once again. But is America going to have the courage to stand up against the evil, look it in the face, and say no more? Rob Pincus is with us right now. Rob is a professional trainer, author, and consultant. He and his staff at ICE Training Company provide services to military, law enforcement, private security, and students interested in self-defense. And we're going to talk about tips for defense in gun-free zones. Rob Pincus, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you here more and more. In fact, I mentioned to our audience several months ago, I'm based half the time in Florida. We had an occasion to go to a movie theater, and there were signs up that it was a gun-free zone. And I went to the manager, and I said, what are you doing? I mean, first of all, we're in Florida. We're, you know, we can conceal carry. And I have a concealed carry permit. But I said, first of all, do you realize what you did? You just put a target on everybody coming into this movie theater. He goes, well, it's company policy. I said, it is a dangerous policy. And I want to give you my opinion. What you've done is you've endangered all of us by putting up that stupid sign. And you need to tell corporate they need to yank these signs out or you will never see me back in this place again. And the rest of the, and I said it loud enough to where there were other people listening. And they were considering what was, you know, the situation that they were walking into with this theater with signs all over it that said, welcome, you know, criminals, you are coming into a gun-free zone.
Yeah, I think politically that, you know, gun-free zones obviously are a poor idea. I think strategically they're a failure. I think anyone, any thinking person is going to realize someone who's willing to commit murder and be a spree killer isn't going to be dissuaded by a sign. And I think on the local level, the way you handle that is perfect. You know, you talk to the management and you let them know what's going on. You let them know what's on your mind. You don't violate the law. You know, you're a responsible gun owner. And some states, those signs carry the force of law. Some states, they don't. I always encourage people in places where they don't carry the force of law, if you choose to go ahead and carry the gun, carry the gun, do your business, watch your movie, do what you do. And on the way out, let the manager know, hey, by the way, here's how I feel, and I just wanted you to know I was here as a responsible gun owner today. Nothing bad happened, and I'm going to move on.
Exactly. Well, Rob, you offer tips for defense in gun-free zones. Like anything, there's that 80-20 Pareto principle that comes into play. About 20% of what we do will be 80% effective. So what are the key things that we need to embrace in protecting ourselves and our families in these alleged gun-free zones?
Well, I think the first thing is to accept the reality of the idea that we can protect ourselves and when we're in an area where we don't have a gun. Just because we don't have a gun doesn't mean that we're not capable of defending ourselves. I just took my family up for a couple of days in Manhattan, a couple of stepkids, my older daughter and the younger infant daughter. We all had a great time. You know, I wasn't carrying a gun when I was there, but I certainly wasn't helpless. If we say unarmed is a state of mind, it's not a physical state of being. So there are impact tools we can carry, a flashlight we can carry. We can carry our brains, obviously, with us, our bodies, our mindset, our awareness. Where do we go? What parts of town do we go in? Do we have a plan? You know, we have a plan for if we get separated, how do we get back together? Even if the cell phones aren't working, how do we get back together? You know, what kinds of things are we looking for? How do we handle someone who might be a panhandler or somebody might be who's lost and coming up to us and really legitimately asking for directions? How do we handle someone who's coming up to us and threatening us? There's some violent situation. You know, when I've got my wife and I and three kids, four kids, if the older one's with us, how do we deal with those situations? Having a plan, having awareness, and, of course, having some alternative defensive tools, things like flashlights. If you purely can't have a gun, you carry a defensive knife. You carry pepper spray. You carry a chemical electrical device. You know, far too many people who are very comfortable and confident like with carrying a firearm don't ever give themselves credit for being able to defend themselves when they don't have the firearm. And I think that's the number one problem I see in the gun community is we can all agree gun-free zones are a bad idea. That doesn't mean that we can always avoid them. And when we're in them, we shouldn't feel like we're helpless.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about being situationally aware, in reading Chris Kyle's book in terms of having your head on a swivel and being aware of what's going on. Yes, you're there with your family, you're enjoying your family, but you've got to keep your eyes open. And, you know, of course, we've seen some of the video of people, what they've been experiencing at the Olympic Games in Rio. And I imagine that's been a real learning opportunity for a lot of people if they have not seen it. I mean, to suddenly be rushed and have your pocketbook taken away from you, even police making the wrong turn, like you say, police who are armed making a wrong turn and suddenly being shot up and, you know, one police officer being killed. We had an Olympic swimming star, Ryan Lochte, who was robbed at gunpoint as well. So those situations, yes, we talk about Rio, but there's parts of, you know, the United States that you run into. You make the wrong turn, you're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things. We talk about situational awareness. You know, it's not a magic blanket. We can't, you know, I'm looking at the kids. I'm pointing out there's the Empire State Building. We're looking at street signs. We can't always be completely aware of what's around us, but what we should be aware of are anomalies. What we should be aware of are potential threats. Certainly, if we're visiting a new part of the world or a new part of even our own state or our own city, where maybe we're going on a business errand or a family, you know, friend is going to invite us over and we're driving around a part of town that we're not used to, we need to be aware of what parts of town do pose a higher risk. You know, this information is available. You can study crime rates when you're going to take your family vacation. You're going to go to a certain, maybe I live down in Florida part time of the year. If you're going to be in Florida, there's some great parts of Florida. There's some great parts of Orlando, but there's some not so great parts of Orlando. There's some not so great parts of Florida. So when you're traveling, studying the areas you want to stay in, making sure that you have your maps, paper maps, if your phone dies, if the GPS goes down, you want to have some idea of what roads you don't want to cross, what areas you want to stay in. And again, I think when you're traveling with your family, it's also really important to remember how to get back together. You know, so to have a couple of landmarks or a couple of, you know, rally points would be the terminology we would use coming out of the military of where we're all going to meet up, where we're going to regroup if anything happens. Those landmarks, having those things, having the idea of what the anomalies and what the potential threats are in mind help you recognize them when they show up.
A lot of this, Rob, has to do with preparation, as you pointed out here. Now, we got about 30 seconds left. Where can the people go for more information so that they're more situationally aware and prepared?
The best place to go for all these topics is personaldefensenetwork.com. We've got hundreds of free videos and articles posted by myself and other experts in the safety and self-defense field. Personaldefensenetwork.com and ICE training is the place to look for the actual online course, or sorry, the first-person courses. But the online training is personaldefensenetwork.com.
Rob Pincus, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Rob. Great stuff. This is Bill Martinez Live. We've got more coming.
Married, do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Technically, I wasn't invited to this wedding, but you can stroll into any event with a camera and people will assume you're the photographer. This bag's holding more than cameras. It's also got an RFID scanner that's picking up all your personal information. Debit cards, credit cards, even that key to your office. So while the bride's taking his last name, I'll be taking yours. Say cheese!
Do you have a stronghold on your identity? ID Stronghold pioneered RFID blocking technology over a decade ago. For about the same price as an unprotected wallet, you can get a stronghold on your credit cards, license, and other critical data with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses. Other RFID blocking technology simply isn't the same. Check the label. If it's not an ID Stronghold, it's probably weak.
I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets in bifold, trifold, and the popular mini style.
Get the original RFID blocking wallet. IDStronghold.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
A note to D.C. bureaucrats. You're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, when my baby smiles at me, I'll go to Rio de Janeiro. I'm a salsa fellow. When my baby smiles at me, the sun lights up my life, and I am free at last. What a blast.
Your program, your Live.
Hey, just the way you like it. It's all about your little Rio music. Hey, why not? In honor of our Olympics and all the Olympic champions and those that have participated in the 2016 Rio Olympics. Vanessa Williams is on with us. She's an American actress, singer, and fashion designer. Initially gained recognition, as you'll recall, as the first African-American recipient of Miss America title when she was crowned Miss America in 1984. And Vanessa embodies something that I often tell my kids about, that the best form of revenge is success. She was able to bounce back from some adversity, and, of course, her career has been stellar ever since. One success after another, from actress, singer, designer, author, and mother. And she's here to share some tips to make the most out of the last days of summer. I mean, after all, the countdown has begun. It's back to school time, and it's quickly approaching and coming upon us, which means millions of kids are going to be hitting the books and setting in motion another year of hectic school time scheduled for parents across the nation. So with summer days dwindling down, millions of Americans are hoping to soak up as much sun and fun as they possibly can at a nearby beach or squeeze in one last family vacation by Labor Day. I mean, for us, hey, we had a little family occasion of the birth of our new grandson in Oahu, brought us to Hawaii. We're in Kauai now for a little bit, so we're having a little bit of a vacation and enjoying some last days of summer ourselves. Vanessa Williams on Bill Martinez Live. Vanessa, welcome. Good to have you with us. How you doing?
Lucky, lucky duck to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, it's a good time. Well, we're in Kauai, which is kind of where we have Ohana. We've been coming back here for about 20 years. So we have built-in Ohana. The kids are, you know, my only daughter is based in Maui. And so they're enjoying the birth of their first child, Jackson William. I say Jackson Will I Am, you know. So and his last name is Phelps. So all the nurses there at in Oahu were saying this is a gold medal baby, you know.
There you go.
Why not? Huh? But hey, so great to have you on to talk about the last days of summer. And I'd mentioned before we came on. You know, what I appreciate and respect about you, Vanessa, is that you embody something that I've told my kids about forever. And I often say that the best form of revenge is success. And not to be vengeful or anything like that, but, you know, life comes with adversity. And you've been able to, you know, take things of an adverse nature in your life, because that's what happens, as we all do. And but you had to do it on a grander stage right in front of God and everybody. And congratulations for that. And for the success that you've been able to attain.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, it started out my path with a bolt of lightning. I became famous at 20 years old as Miss America, being the first African-American Miss America. And I was a junior in college, about to start my junior year abroad in London, studying acting, which is what was my major, musical theater. So, yes, it has been an amazing run over 32 years, and life does throw you a lot of hills and valleys. And if I were going to give any advice,
I was just going to ask you.
Yeah,
I was just going to ask you.
Yeah,
the golden nugget. What's the golden nugget that you've learned along the way?
The golden nugget is know that who you are, because no matter what happens, once the dust settles, you'll still be who you are. It doesn't take your talent away. It doesn't take your ambition away. Times may be fleeting and may change, but you still are who you are. And in time, you'll get a chance to show people who you really are. So as an artist, I say continue to train, continue to learn, continue to hone your skills, so when that opportunity does happen, you'll be ready. And you can show them all your ability.
That's a great nugget, and thank you for sharing.
Good.
Well, Vanessa, we got the last hazy days of summer, as the song says, and everybody's trying to make it work and get the last bit of summer in and out of the way and get ready for school. What are you recommending?
Well, I'm sure you're enjoying the beach
nice.
When you're in the lovely island of Kauai.
You want to see my view right now.
I know.
I am overlooking Poipu Beach in Kauai. I mean, it is just so gorgeous.
I'm sure it is, yeah. So, you know, go to the beach, go to the water, go outside, enjoy the fresh air, biking. I play tennis, golf, whatever it is, find that time to spend time with your family and your friends, cook out, do all the things that you know that are going to be bleeding once the weather turns,
yes.
Especially back here when we're in New York. But and make sure that you hydrate when you're in front of the wind and the sun. Make sure you protect your skin, hydrate your body. And I've been working with Clear Eyes for the past few years, and Clear Eyes just came out with a new product called Pure Relief, which helps the days when you have that dry eye, that irritation from the sun, the sand, from working out in the sweat and being irritated. It's a preservative-free eye drop, and it's in a multi-use dose bottle. And what it does, I throw it in my beach bag, whether we're on a boat, whether we're by the beach, whether we're near a pool where your kids need to have some kind of relief, and particularly me when I'm reading a book out in the hot sun or being active. It's a wonderful thing to throw in your beach bag. I carry it in my bag. I carry it in my purse. I carry it in my makeup bag. Of course, being in front of TV cameras, I use it all the time before I even start my makeup. But it's a wonderful way to be able to think about your well-being and your eye health.
You know, speaking of eye protection, you know, when you're younger, you really don't pay much attention because we just think that it's always going to be the same. But as we get older, it's kind of like that Yogi Berra experience. You know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. And, you know, unfortunately, I had a good doctor that recommended a long time ago because I was somewhat casual about protecting my eyes. I didn't always have sunglasses with me, but it's been a mainstay for me for at least the last 20 years. And I'm so grateful that he did bring that to my attention. And so what you're talking about here is something I want our audience to take note of, because we do take our eyes for granted until, you know, something, God forbid, happens.
Absolutely. And it's not just eyeglasses are not just a fashion statement. They definitely protect your eyes. So it's important to keep them moisturized as well, for sure.
Well, Vanessa, let's talk about your current and future projects. What are you working on now?
I'm about to start a new series for VH1. It is based on a novel that Star Jones wrote about a fictitious talk show, and I play the star of the particular talk show that is called The Lunch Hour. So that's the name of the show within the show, and we start working on that next week. So it'll be out at the beginning of the next year, and I just finished working with my good friend Rebecca Romaine on a TV show called The Librarians. So I was just in Portland, Oregon with her, working on a new show with her. And then I've got a clothing line called V by Vanessa Williams that is on Evine, which is a home shopping network that I launched in March and will be doing fall come September. And I continue to sing. I just had a gig at a jazz festival in Richmond on Saturday. I've got a couple of more gigs. I usually sing at least one or two weekends per month, whether it's a symphony date or a jazz festival or a casino date. So if you want to see where I'm coming next, go to VanessaWilliams.com.
Well, how much fun is that? I mean, and you love staying busy, don't you?
I do. And I love the opportunity to do many different things. Now, not only do I do television and act and do Broadway as well, but I get a chance to sing my hits, which are heard on the radio.
What's the dream for you that hasn't been realized yet that you know is coming?
Ooh, there's lots.
How's that, huh?
I would love to do a movie musical, which would be great.
Yes.
And I'd love to create a role on Broadway. I've been in many different productions, but to truly create something absolutely new would be a joy for me.
Well, Vanessa Williams has been realized as one of the most respected and multifaceted performers in entertainment today. She has conquered the musical charts, Broadway, music videos, TV, and motion pictures. And again, remind them, Vanessa, where they can go to follow you and get more information on your career.
They can go to VanessaWilliams.com. On Twitter, I'm VWOfficial. And if they want more information on eye health and Pure Relief, they can go to ClearEyes.com.
Tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out of pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 35cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 35cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 35cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 35cash.com. Type www.35cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 35cash.com. 35cash.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
All my dreams, the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
I said, unlike a little head bobbing music early in the morning to get you up and going, the problem is that this song will stay with you all day, and you're head bobbing and you're just, going through the day and just smiling, enjoying it. Because I don't know how you frown listening to that song, a little low rider music. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. And right here, your opinion really does count. So we love hearing from you. You can drop me an email. Let me know your thoughts at Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to be talking about Catholics in America, religious identity, and cultural assimilation from John Carroll to Flannery O'Connor with our next guest, Russell Shaw, who is a widely published author and journalist who has written over 20 books, including American Church and Nothing to Hide, Secrecy, Communication, and Communion in the Catholic Church. For 18 years, Shaw directed media relations for the National Conference of Catholic Bishops and the United States Catholic Conference from 1987 to 1997. He oversaw media relations for the Knights of Columbus. Russell Shaw, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Bill. Good to be talking to you.
Well, good to be talking to you, and congratulations on the book, Catholics in America. Russell, why did you feel you had to write this book?
Well, I've been aware of a problem, at least a problem from the Catholic Church's point of view for some years. It's a problem of Americanization, to put it in one word. Not that there's something wrong with America. It's a great, great country, a great nation, and I'm proud to be an American. But I'm talking about the absorption of American Catholics into American secular culture. And that's a culture which, for 40, 50 years now has been becoming increasingly hostile to traditional Catholic beliefs and values on quite a large number of issues. So unconditional absorption into that culture for Catholics in many cases has meant a diminishing and indeed a disappearance of their religious identity in favor of taking on a kind of secularized identity.
You know, all for the sake of not offending the offensible, you know, which I find quite ironic. We were warned by Jesus himself that, you know, to be in the world, not of the world, we are called to be that salt and light. And it's important for us to appreciate our heritage and the involvement of Catholics and Christians in the founding of this great country and the blessings that you know, we've enjoyed and now are taking advantage of unfairly, I would say.
Yeah, and increasingly, I think a certain number of Catholics seem to have adopted the philosophy that in order to get ahead, you've got to go along with whatever the political correctness in the secular circles may happen to be these days. And as I say, this is not, I don't think this is authentic Americanism, but it's a secularized culture which has taken over in the last half century or so and dominates so many of the culture-forming instruments of our society today.
And what you point out here, Russell, and I hope people will gather from your book, is that in this homogenization process, you say Americanization, I say it's a homogenization, that we're losing our significance along the way. We're losing those key tenets that are so valuable, those moorings, those anchoring points that have, you know, served our country well, served our families, the individual units of our society. And, you know, it's important. And this book, which is a collection of popularly written profiles of some of the leading figures in American Catholic history, and you include Archbishop John Carroll, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, of course, what people, you know, a lot of people, well, he was certainly the first Catholic president, but not the first Catholic to be nominated for the highest office, right?
Right, right.
And, of course, we're talking John F. Kennedy as the first Catholic, but also first Catholic president. But we're talking about Smith, who was nominated for higher, Al Smith, who was nominated for the higher office, and he was actually the first Catholic to be nominated as such, right?
He was, and the more I read about Al Smith in preparation for writing this book, the more I came to like him and admire him. You know, Al Smith, like John Kennedy years later, was subjected to a really nasty outburst of anti-Catholicism during his presidential campaign. Smith didn't back down on his religious beliefs, and he didn't back down on his church. He courageously and eloquently defended himself and defended the Catholic Church. But I'm sorry to say that John Kennedy, when he encountered a similar anti-Catholic response to his running for president as a Catholic, went down to Houston, Texas in September of 1960 and assured an audience of Protestant ministers that if he were elected president, he would not allow his religious faith to affect the way in which he did his job. And that separation between your faith and the way you live your life just isn't possible in real life. And it's been an absolute disaster as more and more Catholic politicians have adopted the same line to explain their political behavior. It's more of the going along to get along philosophy, I think, it worked, but it worked in the political arena.
Well, and interestingly enough, the political arena finds itself saying, you know, where is the moral compass? Where are the moral moorings that have been abandoned? And, you know, I say to them, I go, well, you've been telling the church for a number of years to be quiet and, you know, that you're separated, that your opinion doesn't count. And now when 7 out of 10 of Americans say, hey, we're on the wrong path and we have become morally bankrupt, you're looking for a moral compass and you're looking for the church that you told to be quiet. So it's like, hey, we need you in the conversation now. But still, there needs to be some, there's a requirement for courage and leadership you know, to come forth with some boldness. And, you know, if ever before, you know, this is what America needs. And so I know that Catholics and people of faith will be encouraged by your book and these stories. I always love, you know, reading about, you know, people that have contributed to the woof and warp of our culture, especially on a spiritual platform.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm trying to do in the book. Present profiles of 15 very interesting people who led very interesting lives and who responded to this challenge of cultural assimilation in quite different ways. They weren't all assimilationists, not all Americanists by any means, but all of them in, you know, more or less in one way or another did contribute to this ongoing argument about how to be a Catholic and how to be an American.
Why is it that Catholics have been so attacked? Because, you know, these profiles that you lay out, I mean, it's not like, you know, it was easy times for people of faith. There's never been an easy time for people of faith, especially in this growing secular and, as you say, sometimes hostile society.
Well, I think it goes back a long, long ways. It goes back centuries. The religious conflict of Europe crossed the Atlantic, I would say, back in the 16th and 17th centuries. And the early Protestant colonists of the American colonies were unfortunately deeply imbued in many cases with a very hostile attitude toward Roman Catholicism. And that just became part of the American thing and remained such for a long, long time. I think now that the anti-Catholicism, which certainly still exists in the United States, it's not an old-fashioned, old-style Protestant phenomenon. Rather, it's been secularized, and it's part of a certain aggressive secularist mentality to view the Catholic Church and its values and its beliefs with deep hostility and deep suspicion. And Catholics who accept and intensely value the values and beliefs of the Catholic Church are subject to a kind of subtle but very real discrimination, amounting even to a degree of persecution.
Well, Russell Shaw addresses in his book the oldest question in the history of the Catholic Church in the United States. He says it may be this: is it possible to be a good Catholic and a good American? I direct you to his new book, Catholics in America, Religious Identity, Cultural Assimilation, from John Carroll to Flannery O'Connor. Russell Shaw and Bill Martinez live.
Pure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a Pro Pure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized Pro Pure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-725-2487. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-725-2487. 1-800-725-2487.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates that we have around this country, including WWCR's network of shortwave connections as well that takes us around the world, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now. And we're going to be talking about a just-released book, The Burning of the White House, James and Dolly Madison and the War of 1812 by Jane Hampton Cook. Jane is with us right now, award-winning author who brings history and biographies to life. Jane is the author of 7 books, including America's Star-Spangled Story and American Phoenix. She served former President George W. Bush as a webmaster for 5 years, including 3 in the Texas Governor's Office and 2 in the White House as Deputy Director of Internet News Services. Jane, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, you might appreciate this. We were kidding the other day that if Hillary Clinton got elected to the Oval Office, that maybe she might bring all the W's she took off the keyboards when they left office. Do you remember?
I do remember that. That's quite funny, yes. I saw some evidence of that, actually, when we first started in the White House. Anyway. So,
well, yeah. I figure you might appreciate that. And I got to tell you, I know that history is yet to be written, and post George W. Bush's administration, he is continuing to grow in admiration of the people, and they're getting a better objective perspective of what he did on behalf of our country. You had a chance to know him up close and personal. Why do you think that he's just so misunderstood? Was it just the mainstream media maligning him so for political purposes? Because, you know, from what I understand from, you know, Karl Rove and others that knew him personally, I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, he's not a dummy, but yet they'd want to present him as such. And he was one that was a consummate reader. And, you know, I thought his compassion that he had for the troops and how he and his wife visited the injured returning soldiers and, you know, how he grieved. And even to the point that he set aside his golf clubs and, you know, just so many things that I just admire about him. What other insight can you add to that, Jane, in knowing the president as well as you did?
Well, you know, that's very true. He did not, you mentioned the golf clubs. After 9/11, he really just thought it wasn't appropriate for the president to be going to the golf course. You know, he just thought that it just didn't look right when he was, you know, sending soldiers off to fight for him to be doing that. And one thing about him, he's very decisive. I mean, there's a reason why he wrote his autobiography called Decision Points, because that's how he looked at things, and he would make a decision and he would move forward. And you know, I think for him, he didn't really care what the critics thought, and maybe he didn't fight back, like he could have or should have at times to defend himself. And so I think that's part of it. But he, you know, was just very confident. And sometimes we have media bias, and we have media bias today, but we also, when I was researching the burning of the White House, we had media bias back then.
Yes,
I mean, there
exactly.
were newspapers right. that were named after political parties parading as a mainstream newspaper. People took sides in newspapers. So it's really been something we've lived with for a long time. And I thought that was one of the more fascinating things I discovered. And you mentioned the keyboards earlier about taking the W's from the keyboards. From the Clinton years transitioning to the Bush. Well, when the British burned Washington, burned the White House, the Admiral, British Admiral Coburn, went over to the newspaper building and he ordered his men to remove all of the letter C's from the typeset so that his name could no longer be abused in Madison's newspaper.
Wow.
So history repeats itself. Even though
exactly.
technology changes.
Well, I'm glad you shared that. That's something to put into the memory bank that it was not the first time. Your book, The Burning of the White House, what was your inspiration? Why did you feel you had to write this?
Well, you know, we were just talking about President Bush, and I was working on his staff in the White House during the attacks of 9/11 in 2001. And, you know, it wasn't always easy to go back into work in the immediate days after that because we didn't know if our building was going to be hit. We were taking safety measures, learning new safety things. And I also began to wonder, well, what was it like 200 years ago when James and Dolly Madison lived in the White House? They were under threat from a British attack, and the British did come, and they did burn that White House, and you could even still see some scorch marks in the basement of the White House today. And I just wondered, what was that like? And that just got me thinking. And when I left to go write historical books, I have several in the marketplace now, I came back to this story kind of over and over again over the years, and it culminated in this book, which there was a surge of patriotism after the White House was burned and the Capitol were burned. And I think that's kind of what Americans are longing for now. They want to feel proud of their country, and there's just a desire to have a surge of patriotism, and because I think that's been missing.
Well, we definitely experienced the surge after 9/11, and I think this country is aching for that George W. Bush moment, where I still see the president standing amongst the ruins there in New York, and there at the Twin Towers, where they were all crumbled up, and through the bullhorn. He made the announcement to the enemy that we were coming to get them. And I think America is crying for that kind of leadership once again, is that we've been abused, we've been attacked, but there's been very little response, or at least the response that we've had is lower than expected.
Right. There's a cry for passion to be directed in America's favor, and just a real emotional, you know, in a passionate way. And, you know, America has a lot to be proud of. And there's just a hunger, I think, for that. And after the White House was burned, even people like Francis Scott Key, who actually opposed the War of 1812, he was so stirred that he wanted to go to Baltimore to help. And one congressman called it an electric revival of national spirit. And, of course, after the Battle of Baltimore, the Battle of Fort McHenry, about 3 weeks after the burning of the White House, we won. We defeated the British. They left the East Coast. And Francis Scott Key wrote our Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. And so that surge of patriotism wasn't just from Francis Scott Key. It was from really thousands of people that were really, really wanted America to succeed.
Jane, quite amazing that a song could be so instrumental, I might say, pun intended, in the shaping of the American spirit and the reviving of the American spirit after those attacks, right?
Absolutely. And that song was printed in newspapers just within days of him writing it. And by the time, I think, within a couple of months, I think not every newspaper in the country, but it was reprinted in at least every state. Mm-hmm. In a newspaper, and it became, you know, the military's anthem, and then officially the national anthem, I believe, in 1931. But Francis Scott Key was known, you know, for that song, and honored even in his lifetime for it, though he didn't know that it would become the official national anthem.
What a gift to our country that, you know, continues to give even to this day. I mean, every time you hear the national anthem, especially if you've been in service to this country, there is a special pride and identification that goes with that. Who would have thought that something like that would have such staying power and be such a blessing to this country even to this day?
Yes. And, you know, one thing that's interesting to me about the national anthem is that when Francis Key wrote it, he had just witnessed the Battle of Fort McHenry at Baltimore. But you never hear the words Baltimore or Fort McHenry in the song. And that's why it stood the test of time, because it transcends generations, the patriotism in it.
Well, most people, as you say in your book, are familiar with the story of Dolly Madison saving the George Washington portrait during the burning of the White House. But what other role did she play in the War of 1812?
Well, Dolly Madison was very much a leader among women in particular. Women were writing her letters all of the time. Some of them were upset when she didn't have time to write them back. And I don't think she fully understood the charisma that she had and the charm that she had. And she was very focused on James Madison. Her whole world and her whole life, understandably, was about doing what she could to help her husband's presidency. And then after the White House was burned and after she saved that painting, you see her suddenly turning her attention to creating a charity. She created a charity for war orphans, an orphanage. She led the Ladies of Washington. And this is the first time that the wife of a president has started a charity while her husband was in office. And it really sets the model for what we see in First Ladies today. And that really all goes back to Dolly Madison. So that's just as an important part of her legacy as the saving of the painting. And I really think the burning changed her, and it just made her look more outward, out of her family circle, and more, hey, what can I do for my country and for my community?
Well, Jan, we got about 30 seconds left. Why should the War of 1812 be relevant in the minds of American citizens 200 years later?
Because it showed how we overcame terrorism, a form of it, 200 years ago, and can give us inspiration and hope that we can do it again today.
Well, it's just that simple. And congratulations on the book. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Available at all the usual places, Jane Hampton Cook, right?
That's right. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online and in bookstores.
Well, congratulations on the book, and thank you for coming on. The Burning of the White House, James and Dolly Madison and the War of 1812 by Jane Hampton Cook. That's a wrap for us. This is Bill Martinez. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the SDG Radio Network.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do you ever feel like you're being